Blog. Hello and welcome to Awakenings. That was a bit of Breathe by Urban Myth Club. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, and as I also like to say, your co-pilot, fellow traveler on the path. I do hope everyone is having a wonderful Wednesday. It's a great, great day. At least here in Southern California, the weather is amazing, and I know we have people listening from all over the world, but we've just had some had a little bit of rain and everything is cleared out, much of like what's happening right now on the planet or in society. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. If you have just tuned into Awakenings, I want to let you know a bit about it. It is a place to really connect in and share insight and understanding of the succession of awakenings that we're in. Also, we take a look at the converging flow, what's happening around the globe, cosmologically, astrologically, as well as on a societal and individual level in this collective shift that we're all a part of and co-creating. Many of you that are probably listening are aware of this new emerging consciousness that's being ushered in. And many of you listening are light workers or indigos or star seeds, or many of you just waking up and having awareness that there is something more in life, something more to your life, which I call it your soul's purpose, but it's S-O-U-L, but also S-O-L-E. What is the soul reason? What is the one reason that you are here on this planet, on this earth? It's not by mistake. There are no mistakes in the universe. And so part of this awakening is people awakening to that life purpose or soul purpose to live more spirit-led and more fulfilled. And really, if we talk about in the tradition and the native traditions of seven generations and beyond, this is the generation this really starts with. This is the time. It's better not to say generation, but this is the time because it goes really beyond generation. It goes into a consciousness of people that are waking up and are awake and are saying, we are making changes. We need to make changes here, and we are making changes so that we're living better. We're living more truthful, more spirit-led, more authentic, and that also that others are living in this way as well. So we don't get to the pinnacle or the peak until enough people have shifted. So it's not enough anymore to say it's all about me or it's okay or I'm working on myself or my life is going great. Because in this age of Aquarius, we are moving from the me to the we. And so it is really looking around and saying, where can I lend a hand? What can I do? And sometimes, really, that lending a hand is you living more authentically. It's all of us following and moving into that next level of evolution, personal evolution. So ask yourself, what's opening right now? What's around you? What is going on in your life? What's closing? What doors are closing and what is opening? And you can feel it. You know, you can feel it. You can even feel the, you know, I call it the sand shifting. You can feel that something is changing in your life. And we've been trained. There's been an entrainment, brainwashing. When something is changing, how can I make it not change? How can I keep it as it is? How can I keep the status quo? But the difference is when you're more aligned to your intuitive self, you're more aligned to your true nature, it's actually about facilitating the change. It's actually about assisting in the change. And so we really, through tools, through interviews, dialogues with various guests, whether authors, mystics, psychics, teachers, we've had scientists on the program, people that are literally doing this, because I think that it's important to get a wide spectrum of input as well as, you know, people that perhaps have you know, published material on tracking the change, wherever it's happening, because that's part of the converging flow. It happens in all sectors, all places. Great to see everyone in the chat. Hello, hello. And yes, I see a lot of guests. Welcome, guests. If you want to stay a guest, that's fine. But if you did want to interact within the chat room, ask questions and such, all you need to do is scroll at the bottom of the chat box, and it'll say sign in or register, and it just takes your name and email address. But you're more than welcome to listen by phone also, which the number is 347-539-5122. Again, that's 347-539-5122. And if you're listening by phone and you would like to ask a question or would like to just simply just comment or be heard in a way, press 1 on the keypad, and that will alert me that you have a question or comment or concern, whatever it is, feedback. We want to hear from you. Also want to give a hello and a wonderful shout-out and hug to all listening on archives and, of course, streaming live on Cosmic Dimensions. Just got Charlene Murphy. Great to hear see you also. Got some wonderful emails yesterday from some Cosmic Dimensions listeners, and I appreciate those, saying that they caught the show on that program. And wonderful station, by the way, CosmicDimensions.com. Mostly music, but also some talk. And let's see, Neptune Dreams. I would love to know what my next best direction is. I'm stuck right now. Well, call in. We've got a little bit of time before the guest calls in. By the way, Nick, starting next week, I will be back. We're you know, we grow here. We're morphing and growing, and I'm listening and I'm learning as well as I travel this great road with all of you. We will be going back to doing readings and question and answer from emails and also in the chat room and really dialoguing. I got such great response from that, so I want to really combine that with the guests. So starting, I believe it's at the end of the month, or maybe start in the beginning of November, that we'll have the guests have our great interview, dialogue, our great sharing, and then I will do readings as well as question and answer. And I'll get into a little bit of it at the top of the program. Charlene in the chat, yay, we love readings. Me too. I love it because, you know, yesterday I was working with a client and we were doing some interplane work, shamanic processing. And I came out of it and I was just, I had to do something, schedule or we're doing something, I don't know. And I was just really, you know, out there. And she said, boy, you're out there with me, you really travel. And I said, yeah, I have to be in that space. I have to be in that consciousness, that vibrational frequency. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. But the selfish part of the work that I do, because I love it. I love seeing people blossom and wake up and get it and connect to their inner knowing, their intuitive self, to begin to have that connection. And then actually use it, actually not just connecting in and feeling it and understanding it, but then begin to use it so that it's really this friend, this other aspect. And that, in a sense, is really, you know, a major core component of healing, that bringing that wholeness, because we've been taught to separate parts of ourselves. We've been taught certain parts aren't necessary or they're not good, but they're all necessary. We just have to find life-enhancing ways of integrating parts of ourselves or aspects of ourselves. That's the key. But all parts that are having expression, that comes from our energetic matrix. That comes from our soul design. These aspects of us, these parts of us, are representing us, our energy, in its most simplistic to most complex form. So you're going to be seeing, too, more and more awareness on this and perhaps even not just talking about it, but even research, and I would even say perhaps your own personal research. As we are getting more and more into the quickening, as we are continuing the quickening. Oh, started readings. Oh, great. Oh, so we are doing readings at 1. Oh, goody. Okay, so if you can call in, or if you can do it in the chat, because there, you know, sometimes it's just as easy in the chat room. So that'll definitely start at 1 o'clock. So I just got a little message on that. So I'm primed for that. So if anybody has questions, the number's 347-539-5122, and just press 1 on the keypad. As we're moving more into, I want to say, more of the authentic being, letting go of more of the constructed ego, as we're moving more into the soul design on a personal and a collective level, because we're also collective souls, and there is that one great soul or solar system that we all come from, you're going to see people vying for more attention, more understanding. You're going to see and experience, and if anybody's been experiencing this already, let me know, more power struggles or people perhaps not making the highest expression of themselves or the most expanded expression. And what it is that it's a conditioned ego trying to get control in this time where the sand is shifting, because that aspect, the part that's been conditioned by society, that's conditioned by just mores and beliefs that get passed on, that we don't check in and see if they're real for us or right for us, those create live thought forms that kind of reflect back on ourselves, right? So until that's more cleared up, you are going to see a lot of push and a lot of struggle and a lot of people trying to get their own autonomy, like, this is really me, or a lot of fear or greed. What if all of this, to me, all these external situations are really calling people to look within, to assess what's right for them. Whether you're on a metaphysical spiritual path or not, you're going to see it happening with people that perhaps are not consciously on a path. We're all on a path, just if we're conscious of it or not. And so you will begin to see people, you know, acting this way, and what do you do about it? What do you do about it? That's the big question. What do you do about it? And that's the question that I get asked. I wrote a blog post on this called Much Is Expected of the Lightworkers. Charlene in the chat is saying, social conditioning is our biggest block as a whole, I think. You are so right, Charlene. Absolutely right. And it's perpetuated, and it keeps getting reinforced. But it's about dropping the social conditioning to connect in to what is what we really need to do in the moment, that respond, which comes from that ability to respond responsibly. What is the highest form of expression for me in this moment? So you are going to see a lot of people searching for that, but not necessarily knowing how. And I wrote a blog post on this. You can go to, what is it, Blogspot, let's see, Conscious Inspired Living. It's a Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, but it's under the Conscious Inspired, for now anyway, Living Blogspot. I'll put it in the chat. Conscious Inspired Living .blogspot, I believe, .com. Does that make sense? So we'll see. Otherwise, I'll try to put it in. So a lot is being given to all of us, but I was right, that's it. Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. And the blog post was, as a light worker, much as expected. If you know something, if you have an awareness or consciousness about something, it's left up to you to handle that situation in the highest way possible, in the highest form. Not to say, I'm not talking about being perfect, you know, or being all holy or whatever. I'm talking about the best you can be in that moment, the most conscious, what's right for you and what's right for all concerned, coming from, not from duality, not coming from polarized to the right, polarized to the left, polarized to overreaching, over or overgiving, or cutting off, or over-merging or bonding, as like in a codependent situation, or cutting off and isolating. It's up to all of us to connect into that middle way, to rise above, to actually ascend beyond duality, to get into that space where your intuition kicks in. I call it the inner GPS, so that you're aligned on a soul level and you're connected to your inner guidance or your higher self, and that you're making decisions from that. And sometimes those decisions come through the body. They come through your body wisdom. They come from flashes of insight. They come from, you know, reading something, seeing something. However they're coming in a way that best reflects what's right for you, in a way that the ego personality can't ever even understand. So that you're going to see is really going to be, I feel, the saving grace for all of us. That in realigning energetically, healing what needs to be healed, but we may not be healing on a cognitive level, or it may be more energetic, it may be more vibrational. We may be healing in ways that we can't describe or explain or articulate, but we know we're feeling differently, we're feeling more whole, more complete, and others are noticing this. We may be feeling we're more stepping into our life, even though there might be some little fear bubbles around because things are shifting, but we feel that we're being guided. That's what we're all needing to connect into. That is the new emerging consciousness. So we have with us, a lot of you know that we've had Dr. Eric Pearl on the program. I think he's been in two, maybe three times, and he'll be back again. We have today one of his students that has gone on to be a reconnective practitioner, but also a reconnective healing instructor, and is actually one of the ones that is actually authorized to teach the reconnection practice or principle. And she also is a therapist herself in her that own right of assisting healing through reconnective therapy. So we have with us today Christine Upchurch. And I want to give her a warm welcome. Hello, Christine.
Hi, Julia. How are you?
Hi. It's Michelle. That's my...
Oh, Michelle, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. But you can say hi to her too, because I think she's listening.
Okay. Well, my notification about the show said Julia. So, Michelle, nice to meet you.
You as well. And thanks for your input on Conscious Inspired Living as well, the magazine. So, we really want to hold that space, whether on Awakenings Radio or Conscious Inspired Living, for people that are really out there, you know, supporting. And I think the work that you're doing is definitely supportive individually and collectively, you know, of the changes, because as more people facilitate their healing, right, that energy just radiates out, doesn't it, to the whole world, actually.
It absolutely does. And I think that we're needing to modify our definition of healing. Years ago when I got involved with this work, I thought of healing as physical healing. And yes, I understood that there was emotional and mental and spiritual healing as well. But for some reason, I thought, well, yes, you can see instantaneous and very quick physical healings, but these other types of healings require processing and lots of work. And what I've found so fascinating about this is that the universe is offering us something new and different so that we don't have to go through so much time, so much processing.
Yeah.
And we do receive these instantaneous and often very quick healings that work with us on a very deep level. And healing is really about coming back into balance. It's improving quality of life and coming into ourselves.
Well, I love that, coming into ourselves. Well, you know, literally it does. I'm a kind of a buff on etymology and word derivations. And, of course, healing, you probably know this, comes from Old Hailin,
which means to bring together. And O'Halen comes from integris or integrity, which means to bring the pieces, or like you just said, bring the selves together and to bring them back in wholeness or balance. So I love that you're saying, you know, coming back to ourselves. That's let me ask you something. How do you feel someone knows when they're coming back to themselves? How do we know we're not, and how do we know we are coming back to ourselves?
Well, I'm quite sure that most of the people listening and many people in this world really do understand when they're not there, because they've got chronic issues, be it relationship issues, chronic illness, where they're feeling a little disconnected from their career. Something's just not right. And we can avoid facing it. We can eat too much. We can drink too much. We can do all sorts of things, stay in our codependent relationships, so we aren't able to focus on what's going on within ourselves. But really, when you get right down to it, I think people know. And it's funny because when people start to come back into alignment, to come into, I don't know what you'd call it, the blueprint of our next stage of evolution, there's this letting go of resistance, if you will. And you were talking about connecting with our intuitive selves. And yes, I truly believe that's our next stage of evolution, is to be in this continual dialogue with that aspect of ourself that's connected to source, but also to be within these bodies, taking actions, creating intention, but also allowing the and trusting in the flow of the universe.
So talk to me a little bit about that, trusting the flow in the universe.
Not always easy task. Oh, my goodness. Well, Michelle, if you realized where I came from, I didn't end up at this in this role as being one of Eric Pearl's three instructors besides himself. I'm a former research statistician. I used to design and analyze clinical trials in cancer research, and I had a medical bent, but definitely scientific, very sensible career, and I basically didn't trust myself because I was getting inner guidance. I mean, loud and clear inner guidance, you're a healer, and I ignored it. So guess what happened? The universe provided me with an opportunity to prove to myself that I indeed am a healer by giving me the early stages of lymphoma. And this is years ago, before reconnective healing even existed on the planet. Anyway, I was faced with a diagnosis of cancer, and medical doctors, the conventional medical doctors, said, you know what, early treatment's not helpful. And in fact, we tend to find it may end up shortening a person's lifespan, so what we're going to do is we're going to wait and watch until it gets to be bad enough, and we'll put you on chemo. So being a very rational-based person, I ran to the medical library and began reading about this. And what the doctor did not tell me is they keep you on chemotherapy the rest of your life. And so
I didn't know that either.
Oh, so it was this horrible sentence, and I thought, I have to somehow empower myself, right? So I had sort of gone out of alignment from myself, following that sensible path, sensible career, good income kind of thing, and I found myself, facing this illness, and I ended up healing myself without any medical treatment, without any alternative treatment except for doing visualization and clearing out some of the emotional issues that were in my way. I basically healed myself using the secret back in the days when it was a secret. And I thought, wow, this is great, and I felt very inspired. So when you feel inspired, when you feel energized, when you feel jazzed about something, that's definitely a sign that you are aligned with yourself, your true self. So I began to, follow this circuitous path of being sensible on the one hand, following in my career footsteps as a statistician, but also doing this closet work on the weekend, going in for seminars and reading lots of books. And eventually,
now let me ask you, how did you get guided to that? How did you get guided to the seminars? Were you open? I mean, you said you kept getting this message. Tell us a little about the message of you're really a healer. How did this message come about?
Well, this message originally came through when I was 21 years old. I was a math major in college trying to decide what I was going to do next, whether I was going to go into computer programming or go to graduate school in statistics. And I'm not particularly auditory. I tend to get more, like when I get the intuitive hits, it's more just like sort of this gut knowingness, or sometimes I'll get visuals. But this was very auditory. This loud, authoritative voice said, "You're a healer." And I realized at that stage, you know, something that you were talking to your listeners about before, and that is that we don't have to be perfect and have dealt with all of our layers of baggage and issues in order to facilitate amazing healings, because we're co-creating with something that is of much, you know, of perfection. So, but I thought, oh, you know, that saying, I'm perfect, it must be my ego, I'm going to ignore it. But it was a very auditory bit of information that came through twice. And since then, you know, after I found my way to lymphoma and then healed myself of that cancer, it just sort of felt right. I intuitively knew on some, like, gut level that I was to work in the realm of healing. And so I started exploring a lot of different things, and finally I decided I had not found it. You know, I had tried different things. I'd sort of created my own type of healing, and I just decided I was done, and I actually made an announcement to the universe, you know, to whomever is listening, I'm done. No more books, no more seminars. And then I happened to hear Eric Pearl on a radio show such as yours, and I thought, gosh, this guy sounds like the real deal. Here's this chiropractor-turned-healer.
Yeah.
He's the author of The Reconnection.
Similar story, I guess, to you, in a way,
and suddenly, after the strange series of events, you know, patients were experiencing amazing things when he didn't even touch them. And this was the beginning of what is now known as reconnective healing, and we've taught over 60,000 people worldwide to do this. But it was his story that intrigued me, and I thought, okay, I'll go buy his book, and I'll read one more book, you know, kind of reluctantly. Like, I thought I was done, but okay, you know, it kind of feels right. And when I got into the Level 1-2 seminar, there we were at the massage tables practicing on each other, and I was standing at the head of the table, and I felt like I was coming home in a really deep sense. And, you know, when you're on the right path, it just feels like resistance has fallen away, and it's hard to describe it any other way, you know, kind of like there was this tightness, you know, in your body, or perhaps for me it was like this emotional edginess that suddenly dissipated. And there I was, you know, in the seminar, falling in love with this work. So I knew that I had to do this, and ultimately I was inspired to help teach others, and worked with Eric for a number of years on his teaching teams, you know, traveling, being a TA on the floor. And now I'm fortunate enough to be a full instructor, and I have the opportunity to help people both discover and step into their mastery with this amazing work.
So led. I love that. It's so divinely led. But you listen. See, that's the thing, the listening.
Well, I did initially, and I did get
integrated.
Yeah, so we can listen or we cannot, and it's always easier when we do.
Right. Now, you've said it out of alignment. Do you feel that people get out of... that we're always in alignment, or as we're shifting, or let's say going into a new level, then we're getting out of, alignment in expanding into that new level?
You know, I think that there are a couple of issues. I think that on one hand, we are complete, and it's really a matter of remembering that, you know, sort of eliminating the many illusions that we've had about being disconnected. But then on the other hand, I do think that on some level, perhaps humans at one time or another became disconnected from source to a certain degree. When you look at all the different religious texts and cultural stories, there are all these stories about how we humans once were fully connected, and then something happened to sever that connection. There's the Garden of Eden story. Also, even there's a tribe, I think it's in Africa, where they have the story that once upon a time they were fully connected to their gods, I think it's plural gods, by this leather ladder, and some bad guy came along and cut the ladder so they can no longer reach their gods. So this story is rather universal. So I'm wondering if, you know, I don't know exactly how, when, why, if even, but perhaps our connection was somewhat severed, and we're we're receiving new tools to reconnect to our source, to reconnect to our divine birthright of being all that we can be within these human bodies.
Yeah, they call it the original separation when we separated out away from the light. It's, but you're right, we're still connected. And that's why I love the term or definition of reconnection, the reconnection. I love that it's, you know, because it is really about that reconnecting, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or even on some level, recognizing that we're still connected. So the healing, when you were growing up, did you feel that you sensed things even then? I mean, you said in the 20s you were hearing this auditory, which to me, when I hear this, it's like at some point, it's like our DNA encoding. Now's the time. Now's the time to go, right?
Oh, yes, and timing is everything, yes. Yes, I had some interesting experiences growing up, and, you know, like, had experiences of astral projection when I was sleeping, and was fascinated by the Ceph materials back then. That was, you know, back in the days when I was growing up, there wasn't easy access to these texts, you know, these books on channeling and these books on spirituality and healing. It was tough going trying to find some of that stuff. These days, if they're in Barnes & Noble, you know, it takes shelves and shelves and shelves of space up. But back then, I'd found my way to the Ceph materials, and I was fascinated by this concept of parallel realities and possible, you know, and probable paths, and you know, these things that were very mind-boggling. And yet, I felt uncomfortable within the religious framework that I was being raised in, as well as within the rational-based framework I was being educated in, and it just didn't fit. Although it intrigued me, I kind of repressed it and ignored it somewhat.
But maybe, like you say, it's until that timing. Sometimes we get a bit of it, right?
Right.
A bit of the information, and then it's like, okay, you have a little tickle right now. Till later, you know. Later, we're going to give you the whole enchilada, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I love that. I love that you and some good. Good influences, you know, I would say more, not good as bad, but more conscious or awake influences of material that you were exposed to.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's funny, Michelle, because at one point I thought, well, all the pieces of my life don't fit together, you know. And once I found this work and once I began teaching this, it's truly been an awakening and a coming home simultaneously. But when I look at my path, it's been absolutely perfect. I'm a former research statistician. Well, guess what? We have world-renowned researchers working with us because of the amazing types of healings that people are able to learn to do after just a couple of days. And so we've been involved with research. I had reviewed probably, I don't know, 500 to 700 different protocols over the course of my career, and now I'm helping us put together protocols and making sure that everything is just so within the scientific realm of our research. And here it is.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was one of the things that I thought, oh, it's disconnected from my heart, but oh boy, does it play an important role. So even when we're looking at our mistakes along the way, I think that they're absolutely perfect. There are no mistakes. It's gotten us to where we're at now, and it's a piece of our wholeness.
When I like that, a piece of our wholeness. You bring up a really good point here, because a lot of times you find people in the past say, why am I doing this? Which you could have said, why did I become a statistician? Why did I have that, you know, training and background? But now it's, like you said, one of the cells, one of the parts of your wholeness, it's, you know, assisting in even a greater service to, you know, the work that you're doing.
Absolutely, yes. I think that sometimes we're doing things that end up being a mistake per se. However, when you look at it from a different perspective, there is perfection. Like, for instance, when I was working on healing myself of cancer, you know, I worked really hard doing all the right things, you know, the visualizations, the affirmations, the clearing out the emotional issues. And there were a couple of different important things I learned from that process. One is, until I let go, I wasn't being effective. I had to let go and allow the flow of the universe to say, okay, well, you know, you're not in complete control, and I had to acquiesce to that.
Mm-hmm.
Another moment in my journey, I found myself saying, now, at this time, I was working as a statistician, but I was also working on my doctoral dissertation. I was so close, Michelle, to getting my doctorate. I'd taken 22 mm-hmm. graduate classes in theoretical, mathematical statistics. I had passed my oral exams, my written exams, and had about a third of my doctoral dissertation, which was theorems and proofs, by the way, completed, right?
Mm.
And I found myself saying to somebody, I'm going to finish my dissertation if it kills me. And I realized at that moment that it was, because it was disconnected from my heart. And I had to make a choice in that moment to let go of my attachment. And that letting go, and I actually moved soon after, within 3 weeks of all that, all of my cancerous lesions disappeared. So this, you know, this mistake of not listening to my inner urgings of, okay, this isn't the right career path, or this isn't the right thing to finish your PhD, I had ignored them, which on some level is a mistake, but from a spiritual and life path perspective, it was absolutely perfect, because it taught me some really important lessons and got me to this place I'm at right now, which is absolutely perfect for myself at this moment.
Mm. And how did you, I love how you're speaking of this, the letting go. Couple things. How did you know that's what was missing, or what you needed to do? And what did that look like for you? Because I really think this is so important, because a lot of times people think letting go is, you know, perhaps, you know, resignation or giving up. Maybe sometimes it does look like that. But also that importance of how much, you know, you put out there, or how much you follow through on something. And then how do you know now it's time to let go? And again, what does that letting go look like?
Well, the letting go can look like all sorts of things. It might be when we're at a crisis point and we're grieving the loss of our control, or it might be something very subtle in the moment where we just take a deep breath and we just stay present in the moment and we get some inner guidance. You know, I think of, how do I put this? I think of our life as a bit of a dance. Now, I'm going to talk about our dance partner as the universe, like it's a separate dance partner, but we know that we're all a part of the universe and we're all a part of God, and, you know, but just think of it as being separate. And I think that the most amazing dances, the most amazing lives we can have occur when sometimes we're leading that dance and other times we're allowing the universe to lead that dance, which may include being spun around, being dipped in ways that we don't anticipate. And yet if we can just sort of with joy and with present moment awareness say, aha, okay, there we go, and now where do I want to go? It's this moment-to-moment process, and I'm still trying to perfect this, I tell you. I'm working on this because I think it's one of the huge lessons that I need to learn personally, is to when to let go and when to move forward with the intention, with the action. But I certainly know that as practitioners of this work, what we teach is letting go of attachment to outcome, not trying to control another person on their path. And for many, that's counterintuitive. But really, if you want what's best for your client, the best that you can do is bear witness to their process and trust in the beauty and perfection of the universe, that the healing that comes through at that moment will be right for them. And it should not be up to us. And no matter how intuitive or guided we are, we are a bit of a filter for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So for others, I think that we're supposed to let go and just be present. And for ourselves, it's really an art of trying to determine when to just acquiesce and let go, and when to know that we need to take action. We need to, you know, work to align our thoughts and our emotions with what it is we're going to create next.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I so agree with you that it is a moment-to-moment process. You know, whatever that, getting in that aligned state or meditative state, whatever someone wants to call it, or connected, right?
Yeah,
connected,
exactly.
Right? Because, you know, I think sometimes people look for formulas, Mm-hmm. But what worked in one situation or one client or personal situation or work situation may not work for another, and we perhaps won't know that, right, unless we are, you know, aligned in that moment.
Right. And, you know, sometimes I think that we have to be misaligned a bit in order to get to our alignment. So, again,
get aligned.
Mistakes or whatever, the struggles, yes, we don't want to be stuck in this chronic, vicious cycle of being in the same place over and over again. However, we also have to stop getting so frustrated about where we're at in the moment and let go of that attachment to moving forward. So it's like, yes, we want to move forward, and yet we have to let go of that attachment and be present in the moment.
Mm-hmm. And how do you do, in your personal life, how do you, I say, get aligned, or when you're perhaps, whether working with someone or about to, or just even in your own individual life, tune in to see, you know, what do I need to do here?
Well, actually what I do is I connect with these frequencies. These frequencies are new and different. Scientists have shown this in various ways. And there's something about working with these frequencies that just gets rid of some of the resistance. It seems to align us better. Mm-hmm. It seems to connect us to source in a new way. And I find that very, very helpful. And when we're doing sessions, it's interesting. They've actually scientifically evaluated what happens to the practitioner as we do sessions. As we're connecting and feeling the frequencies, what happens to a person? Well, with energy healing techniques such as Reiki, they found that what happens is a person takes some time and gets into a deep meditative state. They've looked at what happens to the sympathetic nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system, the brain waves. People get into a mm-hmm. meditative state. But with reconnective healing, we get into a very different state. We get into a state that they call ultra-coherence, or it's the same state that they talk about in HeartMath of quiescence.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's almost instantaneous. They actually can take measurements of what happens to our bodies and our brains as we start doing reconnective healing. And when you're in that state of ultra-awareness, you're able to receive communication much more easily, and that resistance, that inner chatter, somehow dissipates to a certain degree. So I find that for myself, connecting with these frequencies of healing are essential for me to stay in alignment. And I have to tell you that even when I'm taking action and moving forward with intention, which, you know, that's how I healed myself of cancer years ago, I still use it. Is there something about interacting with these frequencies? It's like, be careful what you wish for, because it's going to manifest quickly. So it's sort of like supercharging our ability to connect and stay in the flow.
Wow. So let me ask you, I know there's a lot of people that know what the reconnection is, or what reconnective healing is and how it came about, but if you can... and you've started to a little bit, but touch on that just so we have some of our listeners have more background information of how it came about and what is reconnective healing.
Okay. As I said before, Eric Pearl was a chiropractor. He still is a chiropractor. And he was going about his normal business. He had a very successful practice down in Los Angeles. And then after a strange series of events, things shifted within him, and people were experiencing some amazing things. People would say, oh, I can feel your hands before you touch me. People were experiencing the presence of other people, other beings in the room while Eric was working on them. And people began to have these amazing healings, you know, like get up out of wheelchairs, stage 4 cancers disappearing. I mean, just these amazing healings. And eventually people were coming from all over the world to see him. And there were some people who had healing sessions with Eric, and they said, you know what, Eric, ever since you worked on me, my hands are buzzing. I feel like I could do this work. And he's like, no, you can't teach this sort of thing. And no, wait a minute. The other night, my sister-in-law hurt her elbow, and, you know, my hands began to buzz, and I put my hands on her elbow, and the pain went away almost immediately, and she gained full use of her elbow. So he got it into his consciousness that perhaps these frequencies of healing, you can actually share and teach people how to do this. So, you know, I think he taught his first little class in the basement of a church somewhere in the L.A. area. But now we teach seminars around the world. We have 4 teaching tours, and we've taught over 60,000 people to do this. And what it is, it's about being immersed in these frequencies, which scientists have been able to measure in the room. Dr. Bill Tiller, he's a famous quantum physicist. He was at Stanford for many years. He was in the movie What the Bleep.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually taken measurements 6 or 7 times now in our seminar room. First time he took measurements, he said, "This can't be right. I'm not going to report this data because it's too out there," right? And what happens is the seminar room becomes conditioned, and as people go about their learning process, there's this huge energetic shift in the room. Now, if this were energy within our time-space continuum, this would be temperature. And he said we'd have to turn up the temperature an additional 300 degrees Celsius to create this kind of quantum-level energetic shift, which clearly we don't do in the seminar room, or we wouldn't be here to talk about it later. But there's something else going on. And Konstantin Korotkov, who's a famous energy medicine researcher from Russia, has measured something else with biophotons in the room and has shown the same sort of thing. But what's interesting about this, Michelle, is that the space becomes conditioned. It shifts 2, 3, 4 days before we ever show up. So even though we may not have even flown in to teach the seminars yet, the room is being prepared for the people to attend so they can be immersed in these frequencies. And then as we go about the seminar, we spend time with people sitting in the chairs, watching demonstrations, learning the philosophy that is reconnected healing, asking questions. And then we go to the massage tables quite a bit, and we have people working one-on-one. Really, it's probably more like one-on-one-on-one, you know, when you include universal intelligence in the mix. And
right.
And then they learn how to interact with these frequencies, which you can do. They're very palpable. And then over the course of the weekend, we help people to step into their mastery with this. And after 2 days, you'll have all the tools you need to be a master healer because it's so simple to do. So it's really a process of being immersed in the frequencies, learning the philosophy, and playing at the tables with each other. And by the way, sometimes people experience amazing healings within the seminar setting, not just within the sessions themselves, but when people are just practicing on each other, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing right now. And then people have huge healings and shifts within their practice sessions.
Mm. And why do you feel the releasement, or I would say alignment to the new frequencies? To me, it correlates with the new emerging consciousness, but what do you feel?
I'm sorry, I don't understand. What do I feel? Can you repeat that?
About the new, these new frequencies,
you know,
that are now being accessed.
First of all, I think that we're getting a myriad of gifts right now from the universe because we need it during this time of shift. For whatever reason, it seems that you have to interact directly with the reconnective healing frequencies themselves. For some people, they experience some of this just by picking up Eric Pearl's book, The Reconnection. For others, you have to make it into a session, presentation, or a seminar. And there's something about these frequencies that is giving us more than the energy that we've had to work with for all these years. One of the things that occurred to Eric when he first had these healing frequencies come through him is he had over 50 of his patients began to channel. And strangely enough, all but one had never channeled before, and I think he lost some of his patients because they were kind of freaked out by channeling. But all these people were saying the same 6 phrases. And one of the 6 phrases that these people were channeling was, what you are doing is bringing light and information onto the planet. This is a new spectrum of healing that the universe has perhaps put on this planet for the first time to allow us to connect in new ways. And in fact, when Bill Tiller has analyzed this data that he's collected, he says he thinks what we're doing is we're tapping into that part of the universe that's outside of our space-time continuum, where the rules that govern that part of the universe are very different. time isn't an issue, there isn't entropy, things falling apart, you know, the aging, the disease, that we're tapping into that with reconnective healing, and there's an aspect of that reality that drops instantaneously into this reality. So these frequencies of healing, I'm convinced, are here to help us shift and shift quickly so that we can connect more fully to ourselves, more fully to Source, and come back into balance for this time of great change on our planet.
Well, it's interesting you say the light frequency, because we are in the Aquarian age, which is the light age, and the late,
yeah.
You know, right information, the age of information as well.
Yes, exactly.
You know, both synonymous. And what do you feel your role is, your impetus at this time?
My personal role is, yes, on one basic level, it's to help people to come into sort of knowing this with this work by helping them to discover these frequencies and interact with them in a conscious way. I really think that on another level, what I'm inspired to do is to help people show up and play their roles. And, you know, I think that many people at this stage of their lives are feeling dissatisfied, that there's something that's not quite right. And I know that each and every one of us is here for a purpose. And, you know, that purpose may look like, you know, a career. It may be something very different. But everybody's here for purpose at this time. And I just want to inspire people to show up and play their role, step into their wholeness as best they can. And I know it's a process for all of us, you know, even those of us who are immersed in these frequencies of healing, who work hard to become conscious co-creators, we're still, you know, evolving and moving forward and learning. You know, I'm so far from perfect, it's not funny. However, I feel like I'm in alignment with where I'm supposed to be, and I want to encourage each and every person on this planet to feel the same way, to be able to step into that knowingness that they are on their path.
And that seems to be a huge, huge impetus right now, is that wholeness, and you keep speaking of, and I love it, that bringing all selves together and living more from that spectrum. I call it full spectrum. It's really, right? Now, do you find that reconnective healing helps people bring these parts back to themselves, these spectrums, these light spectrums back to themselves?
You know, when I first started with this work, it was like I was inspired to help people have physical healings because I had experienced a physical healing years before, and I've been so fascinated by seeing the broad spectrum of healing from the mental issues, you know, things like obsessive compulsive disorder, to emotional issues such as depression and anxiety, to spiritual issues, feeling disconnected. I never know who is going to get what from these frequencies, but what's fascinating is people, when they connect with these frequencies, often feel this sense of connection and moving forward on their evolutionary paths. And sometimes it will surprise the heck out of people, like, wow, I never thought I was going to go down this route, or I never thought that I would find the love of my life. I'd given up on that decades ago. Or, you know, there are various ways that it manifests. But I do believe that these frequencies tend to help people on their journeys to wholeness. And wholeness sometimes means eliminating physical symptoms, and wholeness, but as you and I know, wholeness often means so much more than that.
And do you find that it's constant, that wholeness is a constant becoming, or is there, I guess, maybe one main level, for lack of a better term, to use?
You know, I really think that it's a path, a journey. And if you are familiar with the Keys of Enoch, Book of Knowledge, the Keys of Enoch by J.J. Hertog, these relate directly to reconnective healing and the reconnection. And in fact, a few years ago, he introduced Eric Pearl as one of the first known applications of anything in his book, The Keys of Enoch. But in the Keys of Enoch, they talk about how we are going to be able to connect to our, what he terms the Adam Kadmon. It's really the blueprint of our next stage of evolution. So I think it's really going beyond all that we can be in terms of who we came into this life as, but rather we have a new blueprint out there that we can connect to.
Yes.
So that we can evolve not only within our own lives, but on a planetary basis as well.
Yeah. It is really that design connecting into that, as you say, that next level stage of evolution, but that, that soul design, that universal design. Do you have any thoughts of what got us out of the alignment, out of the connection?
I really don't know. You know, I've heard and read so many different theories. It feels right to me that we were once more connected and something happened to sever that connection. Who knows? Maybe it's just all a part of this planetary experiment, if you will, to see how we can grow and reconnect. Because, you know, when we come into this, these human bodies, I believe it's like putting on these veils. We have this limited consciousness, and perhaps working within the framework of limited connection as well will allow us to grow and expand in new ways that perhaps will benefit not only our own soul journey, but the universe as a whole.
Yes. And I keep going back, you know, I've been saying this, I don't know, for the last few years, but we're moving from this me to the we. It really is about the, isn't it? It's not just about us individually.
And, you know, I've asked myself many times, okay, well, it seems that you have to interact with these frequencies directly. Why can't somebody just sit up on a mountaintop and ohm it in?
Yeah.
And what has come to me is at this time, we're supposed to come together in groups. We're supposed to come together one-on-one-on-one and connect with each other, because our disconnection is truly an illusion, and we need to get beyond that illusion so that we can move forward in a more powerful way.
Mm-hmm. And people have said that. Why can't I do this on my own? So once someone is, let's say, either gets trained in this and goes through the process, are they able, got a Twitter question on this, able to do this on their own then?
Absolutely. This is very empowering work. This is not, oh, come to a level 1-2 seminar, we'll teach you how to do reconnective healing and then come back on an annual basis for your touch-up, you know, your realignment. No, it's like becoming spokes of the same wheel, and the wheel is the reconnective healing frequencies. And once you become empowered, once you enter into your knowingness, which means letting go of some other things, things like attachment to outcome, trying to control things for another person, wanting to diagnose direct, trying to turn this into treatment. This is about immersing people into these frequencies of healing and allowing them to move on in new ways based on what the universe has chosen for them. And it's very simple to learn, and once you've learned and you become a spoke of that wheel, then you are, you know, forever empowered to do this work.
So,
and I think that it's time for us to get beyond that codependent model.
Yes. Yes. I agree. It's, now you also, because I want to make sure that I put it in the chat room, but I want to make sure listeners know, and those are listening, but the archive, I want to just go over your website is CU, the letter CU, healing.com.
That's right. It's right. C for Christine, U for Upchurch, healing.com. And our main website is thereconnection.com. And I've got seminars coming up in November 6th and 7th in Seattle, which is my hometown, which is nice. I go out on tour, and once every couple of years I get to bring this to Seattle, so I'm really excited to bring it to my own community. And so it will have the events posted on both websites.
Mm-hmm. And the one that's coming up now, you said, is in Seattle, and that's November 6th and 7th.
Yes, it is. The Level 1-2 workshop is that weekend.
That's Saturday, level 1-2. Okay. So you're normally traveling around then?
I am.
Wow,
I am.
You're on tour. Okay. Okay. So now you're in your home, Level 1 and 2. Okay. And again, those of you that are just tuning in, we are speaking with Christine Upchurch. She's one of the only three instructors authorized by Eric Pearl to teach the foundation work of reconnective healing. Yes, and she does have a reconnective healing event that is coming in up, yeah, let's see, November 6th and 7th in Seattle. And for more information, you can go to cuhealing.com, and that's CU for Christine Upchurch, healing.com. Good. So I want to let people know that. Sometimes people are listening by phone or they're listening to archives and they're like, oh, you didn't repeat it enough. You know, I didn't know your page. You know? So I want to make sure that people get that. Now, I do have another question that came in. What, if, in your own personal, you know, healing center, what kinds of healings have you seen facilitated?
Oh, I've seen a variety of types of healings, from things like chronic fatigue syndrome, advanced hepatitis C, somebody who had their leg shattered and was told they'd never walk again. They finally learned to walk again. After one session, he was able to walk without pain, without the pain medication he'd been living on, and within 2 days let go of his cane. I mean, those are just the physical healings. Then there are emotional healings, like people, you know, suddenly no longer needing their anxiety meds or their antidepressants. You know, healings of fear, people who've had some chronic fear, sometimes they actually recognize it when they come in. They know that's one of the things they're hoping the universe works on.
So
and other times it will, yeah, sometimes other people will just be surprised. Wow, I never recognized how much fear I had. And suddenly they're in the shower and they realize they're no longer listening to wonder, you know, to hear if somebody has come into their house, you know, when they feel sort of invaded. And they've let go of those sorts of fears. You know, things like, so it's really been a multitude of physical healings, emotional healings, mental healings, and spiritual healings. People suddenly seeing, you know, the light that emanates around plants and humans and animals after just having a session or two, feeling more connected with Source. These are just, you know, a few little snapshots. I've done thousands of sessions over the years. But also, interestingly enough, within the seminars, we also see healings. There is one woman who had scoliosis, the curvature of the spine, all of her life. She'd gone through some regular treatment. She was in her, I think she was in her early 50s. And there she and somebody else in the class were working on each other one-on-one in the seminar. And she had a healing from her scoliosis. It was instantaneous straightening of the spine. And what's interesting, Michelle, is that this one had had a tattoo of a snake that went across her spine, across her back.
Ooh.
And after her healing, the snake tattoo had become crooked.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I often see...
Powerful.
I know, it is.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And you see range of motion shifts, you know, and I do presentations. People will have chronic issues for 5, 10 years, can't raise, you know, an arm up. Say they can only raise their arms if their arms were on a clock, maybe to 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, and suddenly after just working on them for 3, 4, 5 minutes, they have full range of motion and the pain is gone, you know, those sorts of things. So there's a wide variety. Really, if you pick any kind of illness or disease out there, chances are there's been healings that we've seen after reconnective healing. But this does not work on symptoms. This is not about symptom relief. This is about these frequencies coming in and the universe on some level having this connection with this person, deciding what's appropriate for them at that moment. And so it's, you know, you never know who's going to get what shift, but I believe a healing always occurs. And if people, your listeners, want to learn more about this, again, there's Eric's book, The Reconnection. There's also a wonderful DVD out there called The Living Matrix. And in this movie, they talk about various scientists and Lynn McTaggart, who's a scientific journalist, and several healers who are being interviewed.
Yeah.
Yes, and they're being interviewed about the nature of healing, how healing occurs. And there are also 5 or 6 case studies of amazing healings, people who've, you know, had brain tumors go away, that sort of thing. Well, the first part of the movie, the first healing they cover is a healing that this little boy by the name of Dimitri from Greece had of cerebral palsy. Here was a little boy who had fairly severe cerebral palsy, and he was in leg braces. He needed assistance to go up and down steps. He needed assistance just to get a drink of water from a glass. Most people couldn't understand his speech because he had problems because of his illness. And after having 7 or 8 minutes of reconnective healing, this little boy was running up and down the stairs on his own. After a second session that probably lasted, 15 or 20 minutes, he could start drinking, taking the glass in his own hands and drinking on his own, which to a five-year-old, of course, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a normal child running around and living life normally. So it's a great bit of documentation of the evidence that we've truly entered a new paradigm of healing.
Yes. And we have, it's interesting. I feel our spiritual principles and doctrines and also ways of healing or connecting in, I feel, do need to be updated, or, as you're saying, a new level. There has to be a next level, because as there's a next level for us in our unfolding, that has to be reflected.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
It has to be updated.
And one of the things that thrills me... Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Just one of the things that thrills me about this is that, again, many times these healings are very quick. The shifts are very fast. And I'm just so relieved because, if we have to process everything over time, it takes a full lifetime, and sometimes we don't get there. So it's just such a gift to see that we can shift, that people can change dramatically, whether we're talking physical or, healings or other kinds of healings. And it's just a matter of a few minutes or perhaps a few days.
Mm-hmm. And we have some people requesting, what about coming to Romania, and when are you going to be in Oklahoma?
Oh, well, I'm not sure. Romania, I'm trying to remember if we've got anything scheduled in Romania. I don't remember offhand. On thereconnection.com, it's got our full schedule for the rest of this year. We're still working on our 2011 schedule, so please send in requests for particular areas to info@thereconnection.com. And we will take that all into consideration, because there are only four of us, Eric Pearl and Doug DeVito, Kelly Woodruff, and myself are the four instructors, and we can only go to a certain number of places each year. So do let us know where you feel there's a good demand for this, and we will see about seeing if we can get a seminar to your area.
I don't know how I missed that in all the times I've talked with Eric, that there was only three of you. I don't know why I thought there were more. So no wonder. But that's nice. So it really keeps that integrity,
Absolutely. And
at least for the now. Yeah.
It's been important to Erica as it is to us as instructors. So it's taken a while to develop this many instructors, and we've got more in development. But, even if we had 20, it would still be difficult to reach all the different parts of the world.
Yeah. There's it takes that groundswell. You just have to, go where you're called, but that's good that you're open to the input of, suggestions and people saying that, somebody's putting, there are four, including Eric. Okay, so there's three different instructors and then including Eric.
Yes.
Thank you in the chat, Remini. Thank you.
And also, I would encourage people to actually consider getting on an airplane and coming to a seminar because, many people who do that have a fascinating experience where they've removed themselves from their normal environment, and they arrive, and then they're put into the seminar setting, and they meet new friends, and they connect with this experience in a slightly different way.
Sometimes it is something getting, that's a shift in energy too, right? Going someplace else as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Isn't that?
Yep.
What do you feel, Christine, before we close here, we're winding down here, but is most important for people to know on their path, from your experience and all, the hundreds of people that you've worked with, a couple of things that you feel is really important that people at this, amazing time that we're living in right now, that they grasp?
One of the things that I think is so important is to trust your inner guidance system. I think you were calling it the inner GPS earlier, Michelle, which I love.
I'm a little techie, and I thought, forget compass. We all have an inner GPS.
That's exactly right. And it often comes to us with physical sensations, as you were saying earlier, or emotional feelings, like, oh, that just doesn't feel right, or there's something that sounds like fun or intrigues me about this. So I encourage people to listen to their inner GPS, as you did earlier. Also, I think that people need to get beyond their comfort zones. You know, I myself came from a very rational-based background, and I was kind of concerned, what are people going to think of me if I try this or if I open a practice of reconnective healing? And I've learned to let go of my attachment to what other people think, let go of that fear of judgment, walk through the fear of judgment. Don't worry about it, because I have to tell you from experience that those people who are very judgmental, many of them will end up jumping up on your table if you've decided to come to learn this work. They want to try it out. So to trust what feels right and go where you're inspired, because it's where the inspiration is that helps us create the shift within our lives.
Ah, I love that. Inspired. Go where you are inspired. That's to get that spiritual insight, you know, the inspiration, the inspirar. That, and do you find that if people are going where they're inspired, then that is also a form of, I guess I would say, direction?
Oh, absolutely. And it's truly, I think, a direction that is co-created with the universe, because we get guidance from, you know, some people might call it higher self, some people might call it guides. Some people might just call it the divine matrix, that energetic structure that exists all around us and throughout the universe. But one way or another, we are getting guidance. And I think that those things that inspire us are coming from a deeper source.
I love that, deeper source. That in the chat as well. Yeah, and really, isn't it that healing is about getting to that deeper source?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you have been a reservoir of insight and not only information but inspiration for us, Christine. I really appreciate you being on Awakenings.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me.
Yeah, you've got an open door. Anything that you would like to share, you have an open invitation. All right, listeners, so this, we've been speaking with Christine Upchurch. The website is cuhealing.com, and she is a facilitator of the Reconnective Healing. And there's also an upcoming Reconnective Healing event this November 6th and 7th in Seattle. And for more information, you can go to cuhealing.com or thereconnection.com. Thanks again so much, Christine.
Thank you, Michelle.
Ooh, wonderful. What wonderful, wonderful energy. And I love all that she was expressing to all of us. So we are going to be, I did get a couple email questions in. I will also ask, we've got some questions coming in via Twitter as well as in the chat room. So if you do have any questions or comments or would like to be heard, the number is 347-539-5122 is the call-in number. Hi, 860-616, welcome to Awakenings. Do you have a question?
Actually, I was calling in for the readings.
Oh, great. Okay. And what is your name?
Annette. A-N-N-E-T-E.
Okay. All right, Annette, so let me, so that you are in the process of this, you're invested, you're inserted in your life. Did you have a specific question?
Just am I at the right place, in the right place?
Okay. And now you mean, I get two places. I get one place of where you're living, how you're living, and also what you're doing for a living. Does that make sense for you?
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Now, I feel it's interesting, as our guest before, Christine Upchurch, was saying about listening to yourself and getting those messages. I feel when I see you, your energy, it's like a highway, but it's just off just center, just ever so slightly. And I do feel that some of it has to do with a physical move of in also recovering from either, I don't know if I want to say some kind of illness or condition, and it could even be just a flu or a virus, something like that. But feeling, I'm feeling the energy a bit more depressed and needing to be revitalized. I'm also seeing breaking with past groups, past patterns, but also past groups. Could be also family that's been holding you in a certain image or picture, and you're holding yourself in that image or picture. I do feel you are actually going to move, and it may not be a huge move or long distance move, but I do feel that the area that you're in is no longer serving you. You're needing more input. You're needing more, what I'm hearing, reflections. But I do feel you've been getting the nudges on this. Okay, I do feel there's some things that you want to do, but it's there's some fear of, should I really do this? Should I really branch out in this direction? Am I really, it's trust for you. I feel for you a lot of it is trust for you, and even opening more to your gifts. Yeah? That making sense mm-hmm. for you?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Gosh, I can feel it, and I can feel your guy, like, yes, 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 you've got to. And, you know, it's interesting. It's not huge. It's not huge. It's just that you're going into a next level, and you're going to need to have that support so that you get the inner trust and the self-confidence to actually move forward. And I don't know why I'm feeling movement to the left, so I don't know if that's west for you, more west. Now, you're in some kind of suburb right now, right? I see a lot of greenery. Is a park near you?
Yes, I actually live in two countries.
Ah, okay. Where is the greenery, or there seems to be a park that's near you?
My apartment is located right along a beautiful stretch of Babbling Brook and forest.
Yes, that's what I see. Okay, that is amazing.
Yes.
Almost feel you're. Yeah, it's amazing. It's beautiful, and I keep feeling you drawn to that. Even with some kind of writing, could even be painting. You're needing to be there more, get out there more. I know it's getting a little more chilly, but
I was thinking, should I be writing a book? I recently discovered what my previous life was, and I even know what my name was. I even have a biography of myself in my previous life.
Well, yes, that's the thing, the writing, and I do feel you are going to do some type of painting. I feel it could be even more abstract. Somehow that area of the park or forest where I'm seeing that greenery and that,
mm-hmm.
River is key to you. I feel like it's tickling you. It's bringing up memories. But you, whether you're looking there or actually sitting outside there writing, that is what you need to be focusing on. That is the direction that you need to go in. Then the other place I feel around you, I feel also very busy city energy around you, where you are going to have to be spending more time. I want to say May, June. You'll probably start it sooner, but I want to say more May, June of next year, you really do start really working on the book. I feel there's something to you also with either hosting workshops or being a part of workshops. That is something also that you're going to be doing as well. I feel more than one book, and the books could either be, it's interesting because we were talking, there's always a synchronicity when we tune in of not only what the guest is saying, but the people in the chat, what you're saying, what I'm saying. Energy, it's trusting your intuition. I feel that there's this opening that's going to happen for you in writing the book, and I feel later down the road you're going to help others do that as well. Almost, I want to say, like a Julia Cameron kind of book, what is that, the Getting Into Your Creativity, but it's tapping into the a person's own self or selves.
Yes.
So you really have a gift also, the writer and the art, but also a teacher. And I do feel it's, it has a lot to do with intuition, people following their own inner prompting of what they're to do. And I can hear you talking to people. I can hear you talking to groups of people and saying, when I first started this book, or I kept hearing I needed to write this book, and when I finally started writing the book, this and this started happening in my life. So I do feel you're meant to do this for yourself, and you are a way shower, so you're meant to then show the way to others by being that example.
Wow.
Thank you, Charlene. Put the artist's way. Yes, it's kind of like an artist's way book, but I feel like it's an artist's way book for people to get in touch with their own gifts. Now, some people that may come through past lives, other dimensional lives. Some people may, you know, rediscover abilities or unknown abilities come through. But I do feel you have the formula inside, and it's going to be through writing this book that that becomes apparent to you, that it is also about you helping others to do this as well.
Well,
but
the
you're
moving
a way shower.
The move that you talk about in the new area, will that be for me or for my husband's work?
First his, but yours is coming a bit later. I feel you're a bit more in a crossroads, and there is the key to it is following your intuition and writing on the book. I mean, you could do it now. I mean, that's one thing, too, about, you know, for anybody listening, a psychic reading or channeling or information is coming through. You can, you know, it's like the Monopoly game. You can collect $200 when you pass go. You're allowed to change. If you sense something already, you don't have to wait. You can start it now. You know, a lot of times...
I put it out to the universe recently that I wanted to write a book, and instantly information is being presented to me this morning and all day.
Ah, see? Okay. Well done then. Great. So start it. Even if you feel like your work isn't yet completely aligned to you or lined up, even if you're feeling like, oh, I'm needing to do something else, but I'm definitely feeling a move. I want to say it's not critical, but it's necessary. It's the difference of things being a little more slower paced or struggly, and I don't even mean slow is fast or slow, but more synchronistic. You'll be moving more into synchronistic timing. So I do feel even in the move, you both there's a sense of relief, feeling better, sense of upliftment. So. You're already feeling it. You're already sensing it, I feel. It's just going to be about following through. And again, my sense is it's probably not until next year, actually, that I'm, the changes that I'm seeing.
Do you know the country?
No, but you may keep, don't you have two, do you have a place that's more city? Because I keep seeing a busy city around you.
Well, even though I'm an apartment here, I'm sort of in a rural, but there are cities around me. But my other home in Canada is much more rural.
Is that the one that I was seeing with the park?
No, the one in the U.S. is with the park. Actually, not that far from a park.
They both have a park? Because I keep hearing you need to still be around a park or have greenery to go to and sit out. I feel, now it's interesting you said Canada, because I also feel Europe around you. And I do feel, some, there may be more leisure travel is what I'm hearing. You seem to be more in the U.S. So if it is the larger house in Canada, I feel you both are going to be more in the States, and there might be apartment or duplex. But I definitely will say it's walking distance to a park and some greenery. There may be water, like either, I don't know, lake. I don't feel river. I feel more either lake or if it's a large lake like ocean. There's a beach there. You definitely need to be around nature. You cannot be in the center of the city without some greenery.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel more U.S. I feel you more U.S. The other place seems like you may do more writing there. You might be there for a stretch of time, but I feel it's almost like holiday time, taking some time off. But the work seems to be more U.S.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, Annette. So step into, you're the way shower. Step into that and trust that inner GPS. And, of course, the message is for all of us, right, really?
Yes, thank
coming
you
coming through
so
for you, but all of us could listen more to that inner GPS.
Yes. Thank you so much. The first time I tuned in, and I got the blog from Eric Pearl on Facebook today to tune into that show. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Wasn't Christine wonderful?
Absolutely. I am a reconnective healing practitioner as well.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, we've had Eric on the program a few times. We've had Eric on the program a few times, and now very honored to also have Christine as well. You all are doing such amazing work. You know,
it is wonderful work.
Well, maybe there's a combination. Maybe that's why I see you doing the workshops. Maybe it's your own workshops or you're hosting them, but I definitely feel that's a path that you, you know, if you choose to, that would be very much aligned to your soul's purpose.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And that next year, just dive in, do it all, do the book, do the workshops, host them, facilitate them.
I've been on a fabulous path, and I don't want it to stop, but I don't know where it's going to take me, but it's all great.
Yeah, it is. Well, you're listening, and obviously if you're a reconnection facilitator or healer, you're definitely listening. Well, thank you for tuning in, and thanks for sharing also as well.
Thank you. I will tune in again. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You as well.
Thank you.
Such wonderful light energy. Anybody, if you have any questions or comments, the number is, I'm going to put in the chat, 347-539-5122. And that's for questions or comments or just to say hello. And we have time for one more. So we're going to be shifting and doing this more and more on the program, and I'd love to hear from you. I mean, I see in the chat room some amazing insight and information as well, and I really look at awakening as that part of the converging flow. It's part of that hub where we're all coming together to share our insight, our information, upliftment, useful tools, books, having amazing dialogues and interviews with people, so that we are supporting each other in this amazing time of individual and collective shifting. I also want to invite, thank you, Mikey Hart, only 3 minutes left, to also invite you to connect on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com. / Michelle Miche, MicheMeiche. And if you do have any guest ideas or segment ideas, please email awakenings@selfandlight.com. We don't really check the Blog Talk Radio inbox as much, but you can get to me at awakenings@selfandlight.com. And if you also want to receive the newsletter or have any kind of information of upcoming programs, or suggest topics or guests, that is the email to do it at. We are winding down. We will again do this next week. This will be a continuation of a connecting with our amazing guests and hearing what they have to share and what events they have going on. Again, our guest today was Christine Upchurch, who's one of the only 3 instructors authorized by Dr. Eric Pearl to teach the foundation work of reconnective healing. You can reach her at thereconnection.com or cuhealing.com. And I'm going to have to wind out now, but I will be back next week, next Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. And we will be also doing readings back at that time at the second half of the program as well. Next week we have Dan Howard with us. So thank you all so much for sharing this segment of Awakenings with me. Until next time, continue.